Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Okay, well, with hits like There's Hope and We Will Not Be Silent, Alabaster Box have got to be one of the most influential Australian Christian bands around. Their lead singer, Nara Seagrot, is known for her passionate performances and powerful voice. The rest of the band members are known for playing well. They're touring Australia right now, and they're in to have a chat. G'day, Nara,
hey.
Brett, Tim,
hey,
welcome. And we're missing Josh. You lost him
yes.
on the way.
We did.
He is coming on tour with us, though.
You'll see him if you actually turn up at one of the gigs. Yeah. Well, welcome back. I mean, I called you an Australian band there, but I mean, the fact is you've been in Nashville now for what? This has been the third year now, 2006.
Yeah, I mean, we've been back home about every year. I haven't actually been home for just over a year, I think. So it was kind of a bit weird coming back, but also so exciting.
And is it good coming back home? I mean, is it a warm feeling?
Well, it's definitely warm. It was getting cold. No, it really is. It's like, obviously, we just seeing our family and friends and being able to watch cricket and not have to explain it is a good thing.
And Tim, do you get cricket yet? Tim's from the US.
No, I haven't really gotten into it much. Brett's been saying we'll play at some point, but we've yet to make that happen.
Maybe
I'm
on
not
the
sure
tour.
What happens there. The cricket bat's always in the trailer.
No. You really got to be introduced to it though with a homemade cricket bat, and you know, with a big kind of water tank or something as the stumps
and the tennis ball half taped to get the swing going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a bit of a cricket fan. That's what I grew up on as well. So it must have been a giant leap of faith for you guys to sell up shop and then move over to the States. In 2006.
Yeah, it was. It's something that we prayed about and talked about for a long time. And when we finally made the decision, you know, it was hard leaving our family and friends behind. And in some sense as well, when we moved over there, it was almost like starting again because people were still getting to know us over there. Mm. But thankfully, they love Australians, so we could just talk and people liked us. But we just had such a great response over there, and especially with this latest album as well, has gone really well. We've definitely felt really welcomed over there.
Mm-hmm. What has been the most difficult thing, though, with being Australians than planting yourself in Nashville?
I mean, it's a big thing when you do start again. Like, you work so hard in Australia for so long and people know who you are, and it is like Alabaster what? And even the accent. Our Joy, who is our road manager, and she does all our bookings. She would ring churches or, you know, trying to get bookings, and she'd say, "I'm ringing from Alabaster Box," and they go, "Alabaster Books," thinking she was trying to sell some books to them. So there was a little bit of just adapting our speech and even words, you know. So often we would just get a blank look of, "I have no idea what you're talking about right now." So we've slowly working through all the different words and lingo that we've had to remove from our...
But then we have to watch ourselves when we come home that we don't say American words, because then we get teased.
What's been the most amazing experience you've had so far as a result of the move?
I mean, this year we played a lot of summer festivals and we were able to be on the main stage as an independent act, you know, up there, which was great for us, that door opening up for us. So we just had some great opportunities as well, like that.
We played a great church in Buffalo too. It was a big church, probably 2,000 or 3,000 people.
Buffalo's in New York?
Yeah, sorry, New York, right near...
You are American, aren't you?
But yeah, that was really cool. It's like sometimes really big churches can grow and lose a bit of that, the feel of a smaller church, but it really felt like a massive church with a small church mentality. And when we played to these people and it was just like you were home, and we got a standing ovation at the end of playing We Will Not Be Silent, and it was kind of bizarre. You don't really know what to do, but it was just great.
We just stood there and smiled because they were clapping for a really long time. It was kind of awkward, but...
You all hold hands and bow at that stage, don't you? You bow towards them and then you walk off and you come back.
But they actually had such a heart of reaching out for people living in extreme poverty, which we do as well. So it was nice to sort of be a part of all of that too. And as we've travelled around, we've found some amazing people in all the different states who we've just become such close friends with, who have the same heart as us too. Mm. So it's good to have that support.
Actually, you know, there'll be some people listening who actually don't know your story. I mean, the fact it was actually a competition by a sister radio station of ours actually Brisbane that you won the competition, but... You weren't originally going to be in the competition?
No, we didn't make it to the finals. No, we weren't good enough, so we didn't get in the finals. And then a band pulled out, and they said, "Oh, do you guys want to just come play anyway?" And we were young and like, "Yay, we'll take good."
I hope we were the first call too.
I don't know.
Never found out.
Maybe we're at the bottom of the list, and they finally got, "Okay, we'll call those guys."
But we ended up winning, and I still remember parts of that. You know, I was trying to play it cool and calm, walking down to collect the award. But we were so young at the time when you just, like, even when we heard our song on the radio for the first couple of times, I remember once we were all together and we all started screaming, and then we were like, "Drive to the top of the hill, you can't hear it enough." So we're driving to the top of the hill and just all sitting in the car with a smile on our face.
Just
and
dead silence. Yeah. Enjoying that moment.
Nothing really compares, doesn't it, with something like that for a band or for an author when they first hold that book that they've just produced or whatever. There's nothing quite like that first moment, is there?
It is very cool.
The latest album, which is now about a year old, I think, 2008.
Okay.
So the We Will Not Be Silent. Nara, you were pregnant during the recording of that.
Yes, just a little bit.
That would have been interesting.
I was actually still about 8 months pregnant when we were recording the last few songs before we flew home to have our baby, because we had to have an Australian baby, so we flew home for Australian baby.
It would have just been American.
I know.
Citizenship and all that, right?
Yes, and also my mother and my sister probably would have killed me unless I came home. Mm-hmm. I was pretty amazed. I think I'd just go into the studio and pray I'd get through, and I'd have to sit down a lot more. And I was amazed that he didn't kick while I sung. He was very quiet. Yes, so right. That was good.
Oh wow. And we must also let people know, if they don't know, that that you and Brett were actually married, which must be amazing too, the fact that you two are a married couple within the band too. Mm-hmm. Work and home are very, very closely knit.
It is. It's 24/7. And now we got a little boy, Mitchell.
He's gonna be two
months?
He's gonna be two in January. So he was on the road at 6.5 weeks, so
we probably wouldn't advise that one, though.
No.
The 6.5 weeks, so I'd leave it a little longer.
Man, full on. I mean, it just sounds like quite a thing to do, to make the move. And I remember, I think it was Paul Coleman with the Paul Coleman Trio. I think they disbanded because they were finding even running a band in the United States, of all places, very, very difficult to actually make it work financially.
I feel like we're really blessed, because we know a lot of our friends, you know, who've struggled and ended up having to come back home or whatever. But I think we've just always had such a great support around us and a great accountability team and people and great, you know, churches who have just loved on us. So, you know, God's been good. He's definitely been faithful. We can say that for sure.
It's definitely hard. Like, I don't think we could honestly say to any kid who's in a band dreaming of moving to America that all of a sudden everything's perfect. Mm-hmm. And we work really hard. It's like you definitely don't sit back and wait for the opportunities. And then the driving, like, it's not uncommon for us to drive 12 hours to play a show. And it can be further than that at times. So what we do, it feels like it's 80% driving, 15% setting up and pulling down, and 5% playing. But we have really found that hard work does definitely pay off.
But then when you're really tired too, you get reminded of why you're doing it too by a story or someone who's been helped out, you know, by our music or us spending time with them or praying with them or whatever, you know. So then you're reminded again, okay,
tell me a story. What does help you get up in the morning when you know you've got a 12-hour drive ahead?
Yeah. We've had some amazing stories told, and an email sent of a woman who, you know, was pretty much going to end her life. She just felt like giving up, and she happened to hear our song There's Hope on the radio.
Is that right?
And
she
stopped what she was doing and cried her eyes out and ended up driving to a church and giving her heart to the Lord. So when you hear stories like that, like, I cried and I thought, oh my goodness, okay.
She actually had the hose connected to her exhaust and in the window of her car, and she'd just been through a terrible time, wasn't a follower of Christ, and then she had turned on the radio to find a song to go out to, is what she said. And she flicked through radio stations and landed on, and the radio station that happened
There's
at
hope.
The time was playing
There's
Hope.
Hope.
She started listening to the words and just sat there, and in her words, she said she cried a lifetime's worth of tears. And drove to a church and gave a heart to the Lord. Like, that's the kind
it's
of stuff
not
where,
to be touched by that story.
Yeah, and it's hard to go, I'm feeling tired right now, but it really doesn't matter. It's definitely bigger than us.
Nara, Brett and Tim from Alabaster Box are with us. You were mentioning before about, you know, having a heart for justice. So many bands have now kind of developed a heart for justice. It's becoming a little bit of a trend, I've got to say.
Yeah.
The fact is it's a good trend, but I hope it's not a trend that becomes out of date and so we all move on to something more. You guys have actually been doing this for a while, though. You've been supporting Compassion. Can a band really do good?
I hope so. I hope we can. I think, and I've always thought, that if you're someone on stage and you've been given a microphone, then you've also been given a huge responsibility. I think it's not just about performing and singing, but there's a lot of young people who are looking up to you, and we've always wanted especially to try and be a good example. And we've, you know, seen firsthand the difference that Compassion makes, and being able to go over and visit all the kids and even seeing the type of poverty that there is beyond what you can sort of even try and explain to someone without having to go and see it for yourself.
So true.
And it's so true what Nara said. We just become so numb to it all. And Tim's actually a missionary's kid, and so he spent some time in those countries firsthand as well.
We were in Costa Rica for a little over a year, and we were in Peru for a while. And my oldest brother and his family actually are missionaries in the Dominican Republic, and they're there now. So
we've been to a couple of those countries, and wow, there's something else to be experienced there. It's full on.
Yeah, it's a really good experience to go and see things firsthand, and but it also helps to go. One thing that I've noticed just from living there and taking several missions trips is there's such a huge need that these people have, especially in such like poverty-stricken countries, but they're oftentimes the most appreciative people you meet. Sometimes I feel like people think, oh, well, there's such a great need there and I can't fulfill all of that. And they just kind of then go on by the opportunity to do something, rather than saying, well, I can do what little I can and it's still going to affect someone's life. It's been awesome getting involved with a band that is trying to get involved in all that kind of stuff. As I come into it, I'm like, this is great, because that's such
it's
a big part of my heart. You
it's
know?
Who you are, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Alabaster Box, the band with the true justice heart. So a big 2010 ahead, I'm sure.
I think so.
Let alone the rest of 2009.
Yeah.
I know. I'm feeling tired thinking about it. But we do have a break over Christmas, and looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, it's been great to talk to you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Nara, Brett, and Tim from Alabaster Box, and alabasterbox.com is where you'll find those tour dates. There are 20-odd performances right across the nation. So alabasterbox.com, and catch them in person.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.